a disturbing warning now that some people in small villages and rural towns around Britain have been subjected to bullying, relentless bullying, because of their sexuality. Some of them apparently are even too scared to leave the house. Dr. Stevie Jade Hardy, who's a lecturer at the University of Leicester, says she's the author of this report, and she says these people are being left lonely and isolated with nowhere to turn, but they're not reporting it because they fear police won't take them seriously or they might be outed to their families. Let's go to our Central London studio. Journalist Milo Yiannopoulos is there with his take on all of this. Milo, what do you make of this?
It's really weird, isn't it? I mean, we keep hearing about all of these extraordinary hate crimes that happen everywhere, but it doesn't really, I don't think, reflect the Britain that most of us know and love. The problem really, I think, is that there's a whole ecosystem of publicly funded think tanks and university departments and all the rest of it, all set up to find prejudice somewhere to justify their own existence. I mean, it doesn't reflect the country that that I know, and I don't think it reflects most people's experiences of being gay.
Yeah, but it doesn't. If you don't live in a country town or rural town, then maybe it's very hard to judge or speak on that.
Well, I grew up in a very small village in Kent, and I can tell you that actually, you know, people who live in the country, who grow up in rural places in England, are some of the most tolerant, some of the most welcoming, some of the loveliest people in the country. In fact, it's in the city that I have personally experienced more, oppression or victimisation, because I don't think they really exist in Britain anymore, but certainly where I've experienced the most problem for being gay. And ironically, it's not really for being gay at all. It was much more difficult to come out as a Tory voter being gay than it was, you know, my sexuality in the first place. And that was a result of a sort of gay establishment, which is now using very much the same sort of tactics that they say that they were subjected to themselves over decades. I don't think it really reflects Britain, and I think, you know, it's easy to get caught up in the hysteria and drama about homophobia. It's not really a problem anymore in this country, in the same way that it's patronising and out of date to say that women are some sort of oppressed minority or oppressed underclass in this country. It simply isn't true anymore.
So I just want to make this clear. You are speaking as a gay person?
Yes, yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah, that's okay, just in case people haven't picked up on that and judging you on that.
They could probably tell, but no, I mean, as a gay person, as somebody who writes about gender studies and all these kinds of issues, I'm enormously sceptical, and that's great, that's really good news. It's happy and wonderful news that we don't have these kinds of prejudices in our country anymore, but I do think that we are constantly subjected to this news that apparently there's all kind of prejudice, apparently there's all sorts of bigotry still at large in society, because there is a vast ecosystem of largely publicly funded organisations that require us to continue to believe this to justify their own continued existence.
Well, Dr. Hardy says that 88% of the people she spoke to, these were 50 people we're talking about in the study, and she says she spoke to them in depth, had been a victim of hate crime. And one of the things she points out that if you're lesbian, gay, bisexual or transgender, you're more likely to be a victim of hate crime if you are noticeably different. And I suppose if you live in a small community, you are more noticeably different.
Well, I lived in a small community and I was noticeably different. I remain noticeably different. The problem with hate crimes, first of all, is they're far too broadly defined. Second of all, it's a sort of Orwellian attempt to get inside the minds of people involved in altercations and work out what their real motivations were. And thirdly, in fact, it sort of destroys the concept of equality before the law, because effectively what hate crime means is it's more of a crime to hit, let's say, me, than it would be to hit you, which is something that I think most of your viewers would probably disagree with the principle of. It's an absurd thing to try to get into the minds of people, work out what they were really motivated by and what they were really doing. And this is the problem we're seeing at the moment in the US with the shooter, this terrible atrocity in Charleston. People trying to get into his mind and work out what he was really motivated by. The fact is, we'll never know. He was crazy. Lots of people get into fights all the time, but if you provide people with this ready-made victim script, they will be quite willing to use it. And unfortunately, gay people do get into fights, and when they get into fights, they, you know, have a habit of crying foul and crying homophobia in the same way that, unfortunately, lots of other kinds of minorities have sort of been trained into doing as well, because they know it gets results.
Okay, so if I say, right, there we are, we're talking to Milo today, and he says gay hate crime is not a problem, what sort of reaction do you think I'm going to get? on social media today as a result of that.
You're going to get an extraordinary reaction, because like every sort of rightsist movement in its death throes, the discussion gets ever more hysterical and focused on ever smaller things. So if you look at sort of the gender war, you look at modern feminism, they start to focus on ever more tiny things, but ever more hysterically. So we see, for example, obsession over transgender pronouns to the point of hysteria and mania, to the point of pursuing people if they don't use them properly. We see, you know, discussion about manspreading, which is this thing in New York. Apparently men sit with their legs too wide on the tube. And it's spoken about with extraordinary sort of ferocity and hatred, like this was something that actually mattered. I mean, never mind the women who put their handbags and shopping on the seats. You know, this sort of weird, obscure, tiny stuff that is spoken about enormously angrily is the sign of a movement in its death throes, panicking because it's worried about perpetuating its own existence.
Okay, you've certainly got the debate going this morning, Milo. And again, I just want to point out that Milo, who's a journalist and a commentator and talks about these issues, he is himself gay. He's speaking from that perspective there. And finally, just could I ask, you look at something like Little Britain and you look at it in relation to this study that we're talking about here, small communities, and you have that catchphrase of the only gay in the village. Is that a rallying cry, or is that a hindrance when you see this study?
Well, I was the only gay in the village. And as I said to you, you know, my experience of rural English life has been delightful. It's been the people of this country are some of the most tolerant, welcoming, open, wonderful people that you could find anywhere in the world. And to those who say, you know, Britain is a bigoted and intolerant place, I always come back to the same question: where would you rather be? Because when you ask these campaigners this question, when you say, well, all right, if Britain's so awful, where would you rather be? Which nation in the world has such an extraordinary, you know, centuries-long record of welcoming in all sorts of different people from all sorts of different places? Where in the world has such a one? Is where would you rather be born if you didn't know your circumstance before your birth, right? And I think the answer has always got to be either the United States or the United Kingdom. This is a wonderful, welcoming country, and I'm so sorry and irritated and tired of hearing about these constant reports that it is this awful, bigoted place. I don't think it reflects people's experiences. I don't think it's true.
One of the kinder comments I can read out to you this morning is, who is the drunk guy talking about gay rights?
It's very early in the morning. It's very early in the morning.
Okay, look, it's his view, it's his opinion. You don't have to agree with it. Just let us know what you think of it and your experience in following the study. Milo, appreciate your take. Very forward, very straightforward, very direct. Thank you very much indeed. Milo Gerinopoulos there from our central London studio. Jacqueline.